So Hope's going to come up and share this morning first, and then Tommy's going to come up, and he's going to share, because they're both leaving next week.
Well, good morning, everyone. Before I get into what I'm going to talk about, I just wanted to say thank you to everyone who has supported me financially, but in prayer and encouragement, and just been so positive and lovely and wonderful in helping me accomplish what I've accomplished in the last year and what I'm about to do in this next year. And with that, I have had the privilege of working with Trail Missions in Zambia, and I'm really excited to go back. We leave in 1 week, which is very exciting, and we bring Larry with us. Can't wait for that. But to give you a little bit of information about what Trail Missions does, it was founded about 9 years ago, and in that time they have planted about 25 churches out in the bush. So we have one base in a town called Sioma, which is in the middle of nowhere, Zambia, right on the Zambezi River. And then we go out from there into the bush. And the goal is to eventually reach the Angola border in evangelizing and planting new churches and raising up local pastors so that they can be the hands and feet of Jesus out there. And so what I was able to do was teach Bible school. So we have a Bible school on base, and we've trained up about 50 local pastors at this point through their Bible school program. And I got to teach them, which was just such a blessing. I loved teaching. And I never knew that I would like that or be interested in it at all. But I absolutely adore teaching those students and raising them up in the way that they should go and training them about who Jesus is and what the word really means. And then you watch it click. All of a sudden, they start understanding like what redemption really means and what grace really means. And it's the most beautiful thing I've ever witnessed in my life. And so I got to be a part of that, but I also was able to help start a youth group with our local church. So we got a bunch of young kids involved and played games with them every week and taught them really solid messages and prayed with them. We went on visiting days, so we would go out with the local church and meet with families who had either lost someone or had a sick family member. We would pray with them, and then all of a sudden, all these people would come out and want to know more about who Jesus is. They would tell their whole family, someone's coming today, and suddenly we show up, and there'd be like 20 people there ready to receive the gospel, and it's incredible. One of my favorite and most dear testimonies of that kind of visitation. We went out, just a few of us, to pray for this woman. Her mother was really sick, and so we had to figure out where she lived, and she lived way off the beaten path. We're driving on sand. There's no real road. And they tell you to take a right-hand turn at a giant mango tree. Well, there's mango trees everywhere, so that's kind of difficult. But we finally find her mom, and she set up all these benches and mats, and we're sitting with her family, and they've invited everyone that they know in their tiny little village. So this is about 12 people. And this old man, this really old man, he comes up and he sits down at this bench, and he doesn't know anything about Jesus. He's never heard about Jesus at all. And so we tell them the gospel message. We tell them that God created the earth and who they are in Jesus and what Jesus did on the cross. We give them the whole gospel message. And at the end, he's like sitting at his seat, like bouncing. He can't wait. He's like, okay, I want this. And we're like, well, let's pray. So we have everyone pray with us, and we lead them in a prayer of salvation. And this man is like about to leap out of his seat. And when I tell you he was old, he walked up like this. Like he could hardly stand up straight. He was so excited to give his life to the Lord, so delighted. And the whole family ends up giving their life to Jesus in one Sunday afternoon. And where we live in Zambia, there's a lot of elephants. So they have a specific route that they take to get to the water. They eat all the trees, all the leaves. They do that all the time. And they're pretty dangerous because they're gigantic. And they spook easily. So this is kind of sad, but to me, it's the most beautiful picture of salvation I have ever witnessed. We found out that 2 weeks later that man who had given his life to the Lord so excitedly, like it was written over his face, that he had been trampled by an elephant 2 weeks later. And while that is so deeply sad that he lost his life, all I could do was rejoice that had we not been there, he wouldn't have known. He wouldn't have had a chance to rejoice in heaven where he's dancing freely for all of eternity. Amen? Like, that's so beautiful. That's what we do. And as Christians, that's what we do. For me, it's all about love. And I think that's true for everyone, and it should be. I think that we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to figure out what our specific, precise calling is. And God shows us that because he's faithful and he wants to use us, right? But the ultimate calling we have is to love him with everything that we have and to love each other well. Amen? When Jesus came, he fulfilled the law and the prophets and he did what he did on the cross. And then he left us with these two things and he said, love me with all your heart, mind, strength, soul. Love me with everything in you. And then love your neighbor as yourself. And when you understand how much he loves you and you walk in that love, it's easy to be obedient. Amen? And so last year, God opened every door for me to do just that, to be obedient and to go to Zambia where he was calling me. And when you know the love of Jesus, it's easy to be obedient, right? It's easy to do what he's saying. It's easy to go to the other side of the world for a time. It's easy to go to your next door neighbor. It's easy to go to Walmart and talk to the person in, you know, in line next to you. It's easy because you know how powerful his love really is. Amen? And so I just want to leave you with this scripture because this right here, the first time that I read Isaiah 61, I was in high school. I was a senior in high school, and the minute that I read this scripture, I knew that I knew that I knew I was called to missions. God just like leapt it in my heart. But he had been telling me that since I was 12. So I now get to live in this place where I live inside of answered prayer. I wanted to be a full-time missionary for most of my life, and I can't believe that I get to do it now. And it's a great thanks to all of you for being so supportive. But more than anything, that Jesus is so faithful. Amen? So I'll leave you with this. Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil for joy, oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness. And that is what we're called to do. We're called to be like Jesus. Amen? So thank you very much.
Good morning. I did this at Strong Tower, and I'm going to do it again because it's fun. So over there in Zambia, they do this little thing whenever someone gets up to speak or share a testimony, and they say hallelujah, everybody says amen. So I'm going to try, just to warm up the room. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You could do better. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I can only hear the kids. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. I like that. So I was going to share my scripture at the end, but I'm going to share it now. It's in Colossians. Hope was talking about love, and this is about love. The whole reason why I do what I do, what I did for 6 months in Zambia, what I'm going to do for the 9 months when I go back in a week. This kind of sums it all up. Colossians 3, verses 14. Through, I might get to 17. Got it? Maybe? All right, I'm just going to read it. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another in psalms, and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. Amen. That makes me just want to keep going and not stop. The Bible tells us to not lose heart, and I reminded myself that a lot when I was over there. For those of you that don't know me, I know probably most of you do, I'm Tommy Malo. I grew up in this church. God put it on my heart to do missions, kind of like 12 years old, 11 years old, like Hope. And I went on short term for a while. I knew that's what God wanted me to do. And then I stepped out and I said, okay, God, let's see what you want to do with your kingdom through me. And last year went. One thing that I do a lot is I build. I'm a carpenter. I do construction. And it's one way God gifted me to build his kingdom and to do. So one of our pastors out in the villages, all he had for church was this torn up tarp. And he came to me. It was about a week before I came back. He was like, Tommy. And he could speak really good English, which was a blessing. He said, Tommy, I really need a building. And then I have like thousands of other things going on. I said, you know what? I'll make it happen. So I went over there with me and two other guys that helped me work and stuff. And in 4 days, we put up the roof for this for these people. And not only was it a blessing to the church body over there, but the entire community, where they might have a thatched roof that's leaking and a storm or whatever, and they can all meet at the church. And something that's much bigger than just this church body, but the entire community coming together. I thought it was beautiful. Another thing that I was working on a lot over there with my hands was we were building a new missionary training center and conference center you saw in the pictures. I'm going to finish it up this year, hopefully before the team comes through Rock Solid, and I'll put the second floor in and everything. But that's just been a blast, working with people over there side by side. Like, working in an atmosphere of construction is different, but when you do it in a godly manner, I get to talk to these men that knew English pretty well. They traveled all the way to help me build it. And lives get changed even through swinging a hammer. And God was so good the entire time. Let's see. I was called, and I answered it. And we're all called. And it's a choice every day to answer that call. What I saw as a theme when I was over there, when I came back, I went to Arizona. We did the conference in Arizona. And I heard this song about elevation worship. It's called Being Available. I think it's called Available. And it really sat well in my spirit. And I looked back at this past year, and I was like, the entire theme was, am I available? Am I available to surrender? Am I available to drop what I'm doing? Drop my plans? Drop my ideas? And say, yes, okay, God. I'm going to speak this thing that's on my heart, even though it doesn't make sense in the moment. I experienced that when I was building the church in the village. I had to preach every night. I worked all day. When the sun came up, sun went down. I said, I gotta go rest. Went in my tent, passed out. They come knocking on my tent. Tommy, you got to preach. What? I do? And all I had was a Bible verse. And I found myself digging through scripture for 30 minutes. And these people hungry for the word. And all I had was a willing heart and a scripture. And God living on the inside of me. Not that I'm just so perfect and holier than thou, but because God is so good. Amen. So I'm going to just list off some things that built the kingdom and then share a testimony. People came to Christ. Lives were changed. People were baptized. Churches were planted. Churches were built. Pastors were trained up. People were loved. Water wells were drilled. And hundreds of people filled with the Spirit. I want to share one testimony. So one big thing we do. One big thing we do over there is we have teams that come every year, about 5 to 6 teams from the States. They come for 2 weeks. We do big outreaches, and we plant a church. Every village we go to, our goal is to plant the church there and send one of our pastors that we train up to go pastor that church. So one of the teams that was there with us, we go to this one village. This is one of the most powerful testimonies I've ever heard in my life, and I will share it till the day that I die. because it encourages me and encourages so many other people. So this little girl that was kind of around our camp, you see how we set up, we get our tents, we get our fire, and a little girl and her mother would come around and you could tell something was a little off. Something was a little off. Her face would like contort, and witchcraft is a big thing over there. And her face would contort, she'd pass in and out of consciousness, and we approached her mother, we approached her, we said, do you need any help? Let's pray for her. And we went to the nearby village where she was staying. And you could tell that the moment, now she sat on Hope's lap, and she didn't want to leave Hope's lap. It was very strange, like the presence of God came in, and the little girl finally found comfort and didn't want to leave. So we pray for her. We pray for her a couple times. We don't see any big change, but we stand in faith. We pray and fast for about a day. And then, so 2 days go by. We pack up. We go back to base camp. As soon as we get to base camp, one of our pastors gets a call from the village and says that this little girl is completely made well and healed. And we're like, hallelujah. We stood in faith even when we saw nothing. That's faith. God is good. And about 2 months go by, I'm pretty sure about 2 months, we plan to go to a different village to go reach them with the gospel, not knowing until we show up that this little girl, this is her home village. The other village we were at, that wasn't her village. That wasn't her home. So her and her mom went to this village. We didn't know they were even there. We go there ready to bring the gospel, to train people up, and they are already shouting the name of Jesus, and they know the gospel because of the testimony of this little girl and her mom going back home and changing the atmosphere, people's lives, probably about 100 people in this little village. And when we pulled up, I think it was Hope and the other missionary, Amanda, they're like, wait, that's that little girl. Big smile on her face, like she remembered who we were. And she was like, oh, yes, they're back. And totally different. Hope had pictures that we showed at Strong Tower, but we don't have them anymore. But when you walk into the room, you carry something more than even the ideas you have about God. The kingdom of God living on the inside of you. Power of God living on the inside of you. Say yes. Be available. He wants to change the world through you. One little last statement. This is my perspective. And I speak it over myself pretty consistently. I don't want an amen. I don't want any pride. I don't want to clap for myself. All I want is the King. That's all I want. When it boils down, when I walk naked into the light, all I want is the King. Who wraps me up real close, tells me who I really am, above all the lies, and makes me new. He's in the work of doing new things. Be available. That's all I got. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Hey, look, this is the fun part. The fun part is giving, right? God gives us stuff, but the fun part is taking what God gives us and giving it away, because you know he's going to bless everything you put your hands to, and he already has, and then he never withholds anything. Amen? Never withholds anything. I think the word of God has been preached. I think now we get to see a visible aspect of what it looks like, right? And I just want to give you an update also that, because last Monday when I got to pray for that judge that got, they called it the investiture. And so when we got to pray over the judge to set him in last week, it was wonderful. You know, we got over there and we sat up because we're right in the courtroom is where they do it. And then a state judge came down, and it was about 10 other judges that were there and people from over the county. But as we went in, you know, I sat the imam and the rabbi, and then me were sitting there, and I just started asking them questions about their lives, and they started sharing. And I said, hey, after this is all over, you want to get a cup of coffee? They said, yeah. Yeah, let's get some coffee. Because there's a word that God gave me, and I know I gave it last week. We're going to start today, but these long-winded preachers take up a lot of time. So, and they're better than me. So this next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about bridge building. Yes. We're going to be talking about bridge building. You're bridge builders. So many times people are afraid. I stopped this morning on the way in and met with a guy who used to go to the church when we first started. And then he got upset with me and he left. And now I get to meet with him at 5:30 in the morning on a Sunday while I'm plowing and go in and pray with him. Because we got to be bridge builders. Amen. It's not about what they said about you. It's not about what they've done. Amen? Your history has got to die. Because when we went over there, I'm sitting there talking to the imam and I'm asking all kinds of questions. And the rabbi looks at me. He's only 28, the rabbi, or 27, right? And he's like, these are good questions. I like learning about him. I was like, well, then you ask one. I think you asked them all right? But you see, because when we're not afraid, and that's when I was in prayer with this guy this morning, and I was explaining what happened, and he's like, you know, we can't be afraid because we've got some thoughts in our head about who they are and what they do. But I want you to know who he is and what he's done in you. Because greater is he that is in you, right? So we can't have fear. We just walk in and talk to whoever comes, amen? So we got to sit there and chat with these guys, and then the imam got up and he read his thing, and you know, no power in a dead God, so I was good. And so then I got up and I prayed, and I said, well, we do things a little bit different at Rock Solid. I said, Judge, can you come here? He said, yeah. I said, because we lay hands on people when we pray for them. And I said, so we're going to lay hands on, we're going to believe God for the miraculous. I said, and you're going to bow your heads. Let's bow our heads. And they all bowed their heads, everybody in this room. And I just got to pray for him and encourage him and love on him. And then the rabbi came up and he read down through his liturgy. And then after we got done, walked downstairs. And, you know, it was just incredible meeting people. I would never run in those circles. Never. And the judge came up. He was like, thanks. He said, Pastor, I said, look, I'm just here to serve whatever you need. Anything you need in the future, you get in the jam, you got people you don't have to do with, give me a call. I'd love to come and walk alongside of you. He said, oh, no. He said, I'm here to serve you. Whatever you need. And I'm like, well, that's good to hear. But God opened up other doors with other relationships in that room. One guy came up to me and he goes, that was powerful. That was powerful, your prayer. I said, well, thank you, sir. He said, who are you? And he gave me his name. And I'm like, no, I don't think I've ever met you. He said, well, I watch you sometimes online. And I was like, really? He said, yeah, I know Ricky Cartwright. I was like, oh. I said, well, come on over to the church. We'd love to have you. And that's why I don't know. He's not here today, but one day he'll walk in here. Why? All because all we do is take the opportunity like these guys took. It was an opportunity and they went. It was an opportunity to go pray for a judge. It doesn't matter where we are. If we'll take the opportunity, not be afraid, and plan on building a bridge. Because the only thing we want to do is bring him to Christ. Amen? You don't need to be anybody. It has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with him. And so that's what we want to spend the rest of this year, just building bridges. Maybe you've burned a lot of them. Oh, you have. So have I. The wonderful thing about God, he's the best he's the best bridge builder there ever was. Oh, yeah, you say it three times fast. He is the best bridge builder. He's the one that comes back. And after we get all done making a mess, he comes back and says, okay, let's start again. And he goes back to the foundation in each one of our lives. Amen? And so today and this week, I want you to be thinking about, Lord, what bridge are you going to have me building? I don't know what it is, but right now, I'm building a bridge into the Muslim community. Because I'm going to go have coffee with the imam if he drinks coffee. I don't even know. Because we had lunch and he said, well, we're partial vegetarians, but they'll eat tuna. So I'm like, well, all right, I learned something today. Right? And everything was kosher. So the rabbi, he was okay because the guy that brought the food was a Jewish guy. And so I'm learning these, but I want to get in and I just want to listen to what they had to say. Can I encourage you? If you're going to go build a bridge, don't talk. Ask questions. And then listen to other people's hearts. Because they're going to start to say things, and then the Holy Spirit's going to start to speak to you, and he's going to say, ah, this is what's going on in her heart. This is what's going on in her head. Hey, don't say nothing right now. I want you to go pray about it first. And then go find the word of God that's going to heal their hearts. I don't care what religion they are. Because the imam, he said he's got between 300 and 500 people coming on a Sunday morning, or Saturday, sorry, right here in Hudson. That's a pretty big number, 3 to 5. I don't know if you can qualify that, but because usually when pastors tell me, they come up and I, you know, they were talking, and one guy, yeah, I've got, I don't know, between 200 and 300 people. I said, what is it, 2 or 3? Well, yeah, let's be exact. Let's really be honest, can we? Right? and not exaggerate things, because 3 to 5, that's a pretty big number. But I don't care if it's 3 to 5. I don't care if it's 2 to 6. It doesn't matter. I want to spend some time talking with these guys. I want to get into their hearts, and I want to find out what makes them tick. And I want to watch the Holy Ghost share words with them that they have to go back and think about. And then they transform their lives for the kingdom of God. That's what I'm believing for. I don't care where they come from, where they started out. I know the power of my God. Is the power of your God big enough for you to build a bridge over whatever name or place that he's calling you to? Because some people, you thought about a name, is like, yeah, that ain't working. That's not happening. But I want you to know, he's the best bridge builder there ever was. And he's going to take you to places this year that you never expected. And he's going to allow people into your life that you didn't think you would ever have a shot at. You thought you ruined everything, but God is a bridge builder. And he's going to bring you to a place that you're going to see the miraculous happen in your life through him. Amen? Stand up this morning. I think this is the first time I'm going to be on time, Sean. Yeah. No. I got time. I got 6 minutes. I got six. I got 6.5 minutes. I'll pray for that long. That's easy. But can I tell you how excited we are that you're here this morning? I mean, people from the Northeast actually going to church when it snows. That's incredible. You guys are miracles even getting here. But I just want, Mariah, you've got a call of God on your life to lead young ladies. Don't you be looking down when I talk to you. You look at me. You've got a call of God on your life. You've got an anointing like your mom has. But you're going to have to open your mouth and talk about what he said rather than what you think. Because when you speak his word, their lives change. He's going to bring young girls around you, and you're going to hear it in your heart this year. They're going to start to talk, and they're going to tell you their pains, their abuses, their lack. They're going to tell you all of those things that are going on in your life, in their lives, and you're going to have an opportunity to tell them the truth about Jesus Christ and how good he is. And then you're going to have an opportunity to build into them through the word of God. Not only telling them just to say, well, you should do this, but you're going to say, you need to say, come and follow me as I follow Christ. It's a year where young girls are going to listen to you. And when you share the word, that word is enough to change their lives. And then they'll come and sit next to you. And then the call of God will start to envelop every aspect of your life. But that's who you are. That's who he designed you to be. You can run, but you can't hide from it. You can hold back, but he's going to unleash it. He's going to unleash it because he's going to break your heart for those little girls that are hurting, and you're going to give them the answer. You know you're mighty to the pulling down of strongholds, right? You know nothing's impossible for your God. And do you know you're filled with power from on high? Just making sure that you're about to build a bridge. He's going to use you. And it starts this year. You had enough of the Barbies. Now we're going to get into real people's lives. And you're the answer for many of them. All right? Do you agree with me? The Bible says, how can any two walk together lest they agree? One puts 1,000. The two of us put 10,000. We could throw your mom in the mix too. She'll add a few more, you know? You are who he said you are. You are a beautiful princess in his eyes that he adores. He adores you. Don't ever doubt it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your words that come day after day through the living word, Jesus. Father, I thank you for your written word that, as Tommy read in Colossians, Lord, it changes us, it strengthens us, it renews us, it overpowers us. Father, when your word comes, all of a sudden we can. The very things that we stayed away from, the very things that we said no, all of a sudden we can because your word shows us. It shows us those who have walked and then, as he said, were no more. And then he shows us those who made a mess of things and you still used them greatly. Father, you didn't hide any of the failures of man in those that you have raised up. And so, Father, we come today and we lay all of our failures down and we say, thank you, Father, that I know you can use me. And Father, no matter what happened yesterday, today we've taken communion. We've reminded ourselves of the new covenant that you have made through us through the breaking of bread and the drinking of the wine. Father, that you said, hey, this is a new day, a new covenant, a new hour, a new season. It's a new year that I have for you. So shake off everything else and step out into what I've called you to do. For I'll meet you there and I'll make a way. So, Father, I pray your blessing upon each and everyone that's here this morning. Open up the heavens. Rain down on them. Lord, when they walk out of here, no matter who they see, no matter who it is, Lord, let it be you that's on their mind. And let it be your name that they share of the goodness of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thank you, Father, for opening up another chapter in each one of our lives. A powerful one, one that brings hope and rest into people's lives and salvation to everyone we meet. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.